that is not of you will be forgotten, and that, Lord, we'll just simply know your will in this really important area of music. And we pray this, I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And so you got the title there, Music is Attitude, or Music Style is Attitude. And we're going to be looking at that. I'd like to just refresh you of what we went through last week. Oh, come on. Okay. Rock music is defined as being music with a backbeat. That's what we looked at in the morning. You don't need to push it, I hope. What are you? Is that you, Sam? Rock musicians freely admit that rock music is by nature erotic, sensual, promotes immorality. Now, if you want to disagree with those who created rock music and were involved in the establishment, well, then you're a braver person than me. But I think they know what they're talking about, all right? Even if you disagree with them. Many rock musicians admit to being involved, or at least are associated with the occult. Drugs and alcohol are commonly used by rock musicians. And then this is the key: immorality, the occult, drugs and drunkenness are all fruits of the flesh that we are told as Christians to mortify. Rock music is of the flesh, not of the spirit. That's what we came to. Today we're going to be looking probably more so at Christian rock music and where does that fit and do these things apply with it. Which brings me, I think it's a setting. I think you've got something pushed somewhere. Did you do that or did I do that? I did that. Okay, that's good. Which brings us to Mr. Larry Norman, who many people say that he is the father of Christian rock music. He sort of was one of the ones instrumental in that, and also the father of Christian contemporary music. And so the question is, was he right? He says that Jesus has saved his soul, but he still likes to listen to the radio. He doesn't have a problem listening to the music that is there in the world, because music is neutral. It's not wrong or right. Maybe the words, if you can hear them, if they're wrong, well, then you don't listen to it, but the music itself is okay. He says he's not knocking the hymns. He just wants a song that has a beat, one that has a backbeat to it. That's what he prefers. And so is there anything wrong with that? He doesn't like the hymns. He doesn't want funeral marches. So they're for solemn times of sadness, but that's about it. And his question in his song is, why should the devil have all the good music? Why can't I enjoy some of the devil's music, basically? So, was he right or wrong? Well, based on God's word and what we looked at last week, how we're told to not love the world, we're not to love the flesh, we're not to love the devil, but as believers we are to mortify, that is, kill these things that are in our life, I believe Mr. Norman was very wrong on that basis. Now, I know that he led me astray for many a years as a young man. And there have been many, though, that chose to adopt his point of view, that there's nothing wrong with rock music. And so what they did was they took the world's music with its fleshly overtones and so on and associations, and they put words about Jesus in it, and so they call it Christian rock music, and they say there's nothing wrong with combining the two. While there were others who rejected the idea and said it's wrong, you can't combine the two. What association has light with darkness, so to speak? And because of that, that has set the church and those in it on two very different paths. And if you go back to the 1970s and so on, you'll see that the church changed dramatically. There were two different paths. One is a lot broader, I might say, today than the other path. But people's attitude has changed because A reality is the style of music that you listen to will have a major influence on your attitude. It will affect your attitude towards God, who He is. If He's just like your buddy, your boyfriend, someone you're in love with in that sense, or a holy, righteous God who needs to be reverenced. It'll affect your attitude about even your parents, your authority in your life, the world, and what is the world, and when should you stay away from the world, to sin, and what is actually sin, to doctrine, and even how you worship God. And you can see that as it's gone out into the world and adopted by churches, how you worship God has changed depending on your attitude towards music. And so that's what I want to stretch out today, and that is this concept of music style is attitude. Now, there is one man that I believe has some very good things to say about this, and you might listen to some of his music, named Ben Everson. And he talks about the power of music. Now, what I could have done is just work out what he said, mimic it, and say it to you. But what I thought is, he's much better because I can't play the piano with some of the examples. We're going to have a watch a clip from him first. It's going to go for about 10 minutes. I've actually been emailing Ben a little bit over the course of the last year, and he suggested this clip as well. And so I'm going to look at that, and then I'm going to take two major statements that he uses from this, and we're going to run with this morning. And so, this is Mr. Ben. Oh. So, I'll leave it
what
to him.
What is it, 2 Corinthians?
There
it is.
Turn it up just a little bit.
15. Let's start with verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. We know this passage, right? For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Look at this. Verse 15. And what... Concord hath Christ with Belial. See that word concord? It's related to the Greek word symphonesis. Does that sound like any modern day musical term? Symphonesis. If I'm going to take my wife out on a date and we're going to get dressed up and we're going to go to the symphonesis. Symphony. What's the idea here? Paul is saying, what business would Christ and the devil have playing together in the same symphony? Wow, what a picture is given here. You see, there's all kinds of references like that that are, I call them hidden musical references. By principle, we should be able to smell them out anyway. But the idea here is that when we talk about music having spiritual power, we've got to see beyond just the words. That brings me to the fourth and final thought for you tonight. We're going to bring a lot of things together here. In fact, if you don't remember anything else from tonight, I want you to remember this, but I have to illustrate it before I tell you, okay? How many of you recognize this? Okay, raise your hand if you recognize that. What's that called? What's that? Yeah, it's from The Sting, yes. And it's The Entertainer from The Sting, which I've never seen The Sting. But it's a style of music called... Yes, that's right, ragtime. Ragtime is very similar to a march. But it syncopates the right hand, okay? What's syncopation? Syncopation is unexpected rhythm. So, syncopation. Okay? Some people say, well, Brother Ben, you must be against syncopation. No, I'm not against syncopation. Here's an example. That you-lu-ya. That's syncopation. Syncopation is like salt. Okay? You can put it in to make the music more interesting, but, I mean, you don't want to, like, dump a ton on it. It'll spoil the food. Okay? I think it's more of a taste thing myself personally. That's my opinion. But... anyway, that's not the point I want you to think about. I want you to listen to it again. I'm going to change it on you. Here we go. First way. Second way. How many of you felt the difference? Okay, I'm going to do it again. First way. Second way. If you felt the difference, raise your hand. Okay? The second way I played was a real basic form of swing. Okay? Just swings the rhythm. You say, what's the point of all this? Okay. We're getting to it. Just hang with me. I want you to imagine that you have a business and you have one opening for a new employee. But you have asked that the two employees or the two applicants sing their application. I don't know why. It's your business. Anyway, the first applicant comes in and he sings his application, the first method I played for you on the piano. Okay? I'm just going to make up silly words. Oh, I am very on time and punctual. You can count on me to be on time. Say, okay, thank you very much. Appreciate your time. Wait out in the lobby. Applicant number two, you come in. Applicant number two comes in. He's going to sing his application the second way I played for you on the piano. Are you ready? Okay. Oh, I am very on time and punctual. You can count on me to be on time. If you're concerned with punctuality, who will you hire? The first guy. But they said the same thing. But they didn't say it the same way. Music, here's the statement if you don't remember anything else. Musical style is attitude. Musical style is attitude. When someone says, Brother Ben, so how do you sum up music? How do you deal with music? That's the one sentence. Musical style equals attitude. See, when you think of things in that way, I mean, it makes sense. Body language, right? Body language makes sense, doesn't it? Someone's like this. Maybe it'd be better to illustrate it. Let's say I came in here. Let's do it this way. Let's say I came in here and pastor invited me to come up to speak. And this, by the way, this will make me uncomfortable, but I'm going to do it for sake of illustration. Okay? I don't enjoy this illustration. And I'll just leave it at that. Okay? But imagine a pastor asked me to come in and I came up to speak. And I came up like this and I began talking like this. The Word of God is holy. God is righteous. God is high and lifted up. Okay, if I kept going like that, not just pastor, but several more of you are going to forcibly remove me. Is what I'm saying wrong? Is how I'm saying it wrong? It's giving you a message. Now listen, here we go. I'm going to elongate my words. God is holy. I'm going to stretch it. God is holy. I'm going to stretch it more. God is holy. See what I did? I turned into music. It's sarcastic tone of voice. Flips the message of the words upside down, and yet Christians will swallow it hook, line, and sinker. And it's happening all around us. And you know what, friends? It can be discouraging sometimes, but the important thing is to remember is this. Let's make sure the musical style matches the message of the music. I was listening to Christian radio recently. That's where that example comes from. I was listening to someone. God is holy. Listen, I'm going to sing a certain way to my wife in a way that you'll never hear. You follow what I'm saying? I'm going to sing in a romantic, even sensual way to my wife. Is it appropriate for my wife? Yes. But if I came in here and started singing that way to you, well, a lot of the husbands would come up here and be like, get him out of here, right? Sure, me doing that. Right. And rightfully so. Why? It has to do with attitude. Can you imagine that girl following Paul around? These are servants of the Most High God. No wonder Paul was grieved in his spirit. Well, Brother Ben, the Bible doesn't say anything about music. Okay, all right. The Bible doesn't say anything about the internet. Is it wrong to have the internet in your home? I don't think it's necessarily wrong, but if you don't control it, it will control you. There's nothing inherently wrong about a screen. There's nothing inherently wrong about this white screen here. But the content that comes across it has a moral quality to it. And this also helps. I really think this is the key, friends. I really, really do. And I hope I'm not being arrogant by thinking I've got the key here, because I'm sure other people have come up with it before. And I stand on the shoulders of others, including my own dad. Okay? But I really think that the key for us in today's day and age, in our culture right now, the key is to compare musical style with attitude. Let me give you an illustration of this. Can you describe every single thing about your child's attitude to somebody else and put it in a book? Probably not. But does that mean that you can't discern when your child is having an attitude problem? Well, you can. See, what confuses people on the issue of music is that we either try to go all one way or all the other. There's a subjective part of music. I believe the Bible teaches basic musical principles. Our music ought to glorify who God is. It ought to represent the character of God. So what does that mean? That means if you have a music problem, you have an image of God problem. I believe every problem in our life can be traced back to how we view God. And I think in our American Christianity, so many people don't know who God is for real. They think that He is their boyfriend, you know, and this type of thing, and that's the view they have of God. So the music matches it. I'll be honest with you. When I'm talking with someone, the first issue that I go to is not music, but it's an outflow of who we are before the Lord. As we wrap up, let me go to the piano here. I'm going to give you this illustration, okay? And this is a difficult illustration for me to do, but I want to give you an example of the power that music has over us that we don't even realize. I'm going to play for you a song that I've just made up. It's very, very important. The walls are holding up the ceiling. And the chairs are red tonight. Okay, some of you still don't know if I'm being funny or not. For your information, I am. But the nature of the music made it sound like I was going to deliver an important message. Right? I filled that with the first thing that came into my head, which is weird. Walls and ceiling and chairs, right? But the music made it sound like it was important. Do you see? When we talk about worshiping the Lord, many people substitute the power of music for the power of the Holy Spirit. And we can generate a feeling just by doing that. And that's just a simple, just a chord chunk is what I call it, because I'm chunking. Chung, 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 chung. Excuse me. So some people say, well then, Brother Ben, is it wrong to have emotions? No, friend. But as with every other part of our life, it needs to be anchored to truth. Truth has to drive us. So when I do an arrangement of A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, I want it to represent the words. I want it to be majestic. I want it to be mighty, but I don't want it to be sensual. Do you follow what I'm saying? The power of music, it's all around us. It's on the commercials that we listen to or watch. It's on the radio. It's in the stores. You can't get away from music, nor would most of us really want to get away from music. I believe that we ought to match the music with the activity. And friends, tonight, I believe, based on the Word of God, that unfortunately today, many folks are just running wild with any kind of music that they think will generate excitement. The unfortunate thing is, what kind of feelings and emotions are we generating?
Okay. I think you can gather why I didn't do that. I can't sing. I can't play the piano. And just for the record, I don't think I ever sing sensual songs to my wife either, all right? So, but this is something he said. Musical style is attitude. Question I'd like to ask you is, what type of attitude is your music portraying? All right, when someone would hear it. Or what type of attitude is your music creating in you? Because it does that as well. There was a day when Christians sang songs without a rock beat. That was normal. You go to any church, and that's how it was. And this was considered just normal Christian music. But things changed dramatically once people started to take on people like Larry Norman and what they were saying. Let me show you a Billy Graham crusade with a gentleman by the name of George Beverly Shea. And these were the times when, regardless of what you say or think about Billy Graham, there were great revivals. People repented of their sin and got saved and changed their life. And let's have a listen to what they would sing.
Power throughout the universe displayed.
Now, that was normal Christian singing years ago. Normal. But since that time, it was probably in the 60s, the world's music has changed dramatically, and they would see that and they would laugh at it. In fact, sadly, there'd be a lot of Christians that would see that and laugh at that as well. The world has rejected that type of music and began to listen to rock music in all its genres. From Chuck Berry to Little Richard to Elvis Presley to the Beatles to the Rolling Stones and then thousands afterwards. Rock and roll has dominated in all its various forms. And the attitude of the world since they have been listening to this has been primarily anti-Christ. And in many ways immoral. And satanic in that reference of do what thou wilt. That is the attitude of the world. Do what you want. And so today, this is what I'm going to show you is the world's music. This is what it looks like. This is what it sounds like. This is how they act. This is their attitude today. We'll start off with some of the beginners with the Rolling Stones. And this is how they portray their music. And then you can jump forward. They have the same look. This is a band called Coldplay. They're not, from what I can gather, really rocky. But this is their music and this is the attitude they portray. An Australian band that's very famous now, 5 Seconds of Summer, they're called. And then even Justin Bieber. Got really cool shot. So that's what the world's music looks like and sounds like. That's the attitude that they have. And even in all those bands, there is an attitude of rebellion, sensuality, and so on. And freedom to do as you want. Now, let's remember what God's word says. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If you have a love for the world and worldly things, you're going to find it very hard to have a love for the Father as well. You can't serve two masters. And it says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, which things that feel good and generate those feelings, the lust of the eyes, and you see it in so many music clips, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And we have this in Romans, and be not conformed to this world. Don't model yourself on the world so that you look and sound like the world. But it says, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, if you have the world's attitude, you're going to think like the world, but you have to be transformed so you know what is that good and perfect will of God. Now, on the basis of that, and what you just saw, as when it comes to the world's music, what it looks like and sound like, let me show you some of the most famous Christian contemporary artists. You tell me it's not the same, all right? We'll start with Larry Norman singing his favorite song. All right? And so that's one him performing it live. Here we have Toby Mac, the number one Christian artist for 2019. Does that properly represent the character of God? Is that what our holy, precious God is about? Does it properly represent Him? That's the question. What attitude does it have? Here's another one, Jeremy Camp.
You will not be overcome.
All right, I've just got a little bit of that clip. But that's no different to Coldplay. All right? If you want to have a look at the world, how they look and how they sound, that's no different. All right? We have DC Talk, which I think Jeremy Camp was a part of. Is that the character of God, or is that the character of the world? All right? Casting Crowns. If you had a look at the other songs, the unsaved music, they're all got their hands up waving away. They're doing the same thing here. They look exactly the same. And then if you take... Yeah, the volume just needs to be a bit up, Sam. I know you don't like listening to loud music, but maybe some need to hear it a bit better. All right. Now, you take that and you expand it and it goes into the church. All right. Those Christian performers, that may not have been a church, but those who take on that will take that sort of music into the church as their worship service. Now, if you want to take it to the nth degree, well, maybe not the nth, it's probably somewhere in between, but if you look at Hillsong, I took this, I think, from Hillsong in January this year on a Sunday night service, and you'll hear him say, "Welcome to Sunday night church. Are you ready to praise Jesus?" All right?
Oh, come on, welcome to Sunday night church. You guys ready to praise Jesus? Oh, come on, lift your voice.
Is that really the character of God? Can you honestly say that? Is that portraying the character of God? You know, it sounds like the world. It looks like the world. They act the same as the world. And I'm here to tell you, they love the world when it comes to the music. And no wonder a lot of them have a problem loving the Father as well in that. The Christian music has the same attitude as the world. Musical style is attitude. And many have the same musical style of the world, and they are portraying the same attitude, regardless if they want to admit that or not. And so that's how one lot went. And they say it's okay. And then there are others who said that music is worldly, just in its nature. I'm not going to have anything to do with that. We will go this direction instead. And they chose a very different path. And that's why you have a church service that sounds like this. See any difference? I see a world of difference. You know, there was a young man who decided not to go down that way. Lord called him to be a pastor. He chose to have the right sort of music. And so his church plays something like this. Now you can see no one's attending. All right? That was because the only clips I could find of you guys is when you were practicing. So no one was here at the church at the time. That was just a practice clip. But I want you to... This is what Paul said about for the Corinthians. He said, let all things be done decently and in order. That's how you worship me. It says in Hebrews, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. That's the key, with reverence and godly fear. Like this. That is not with reverence and godly fear. I'm here to tell you. And so can you see there are two different paths in what you choose with the music style. It will change your worship, what you think about God, your attitude to a lot of things. Ben Everson said it, and many others have said it as well, saved and unsaved, musical style is attitude. And so the style of the music portrays a particular attitude that you're trying to get across. And no doubt, that type of music will affect your mind as well and your attitude. And even the unsaved philosophers of many years ago knew this. Oh, I got one more here. This is Ben Everson and also Patch the Pirate as we know him, or Ron Hammond. This is what Plato said 300 years before Jesus. Give me the music of a nation and I will change a nation's mind. Way back then, if I can get hold of the music a nation listens to, I can change their mind or their attitude. Your music is changing your mind regardless of what you think. He also said, if you want to measure the spiritual depth of society, make sure to mark its music. And so, question is, when we look, if I was to listen to your music, what sort of spiritual depth does it portray? Is it a fleshly one or a spiritual one minded in that regard? What's the attitude? You know, from the masters of rock music, they say rock and roll is immoral and devilish by nature. And you only then have to look at the clips that a lot of the unsaved produce and you can see that. And so the question is, what sort of style of music is it? What sort of attitude is the style of music that you're listening to promoting? I listen to rock music, Christian rock music, probably listen to more Christian rock music than normal rock music. And I could tell you I was a very rebellious teenager. And I was a very sensual, immoral teenager. And I certainly had the devil's attitude, do what thou wilt. If it feels good, if it's good to you, just do it. Now, Beneficent also said this: match the music with the activity. All right, that's important. Match your music with the activity. Now, as I said, the rock musicians happily state that the activity that rock and roll is associated with and promotes is immorality and fleshliness, drugs, sex, and rock and roll. So how can you take that and as a Christian match that with a holy God that you're meant to reverence? You see, we're told in Ephesians, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. If rock music without the words, but by nature is fleshly, how can you then have fellowship or join them together with something that's meant to be Christian? You know, one of the problems they had back in the days with Israel, it says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And so he says, woe unto them that says, get something that is evil and wrong and says, no, it's fine, it's okay. And that happens in so many areas. But just say, the rock musicians that started all this and created the music say, this music is fleshly. It is wrong in the sense it's anti-Christ. And then you say, no, it's okay. I can put some good words to it and it's fine and there's nothing wrong with it. If you're wrong, that's a scary place to be, because God says, woe unto them who do that. And that was a problem. The priests have violated my law. They have profaned my holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and the profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean. And that's happening today in so many areas. There are things that are not clean and holy, yet believers want to say they're clean and holy. Now, just turning the corner a little bit, I do want to let you know that I'm not saying that the only music that you are to listen to are hymns, okay? I believe hymns are an appropriate style of music for coming to worship God, but that doesn't mean that that's the only type of music a Christian can or should listen to. There are lots of other music that is good, that doesn't offend God and isn't fleshly, that we can enjoy. I'm going to give you a couple of examples, and if you are anti-me and trying to find something, you'll probably find something wrong with them and then say, see, he does the same thing, all right? I'm willing to stop any of these if that is the case. But this wouldn't be appropriate for church, a marching band. Now, there were drums, there was a beat, but very different to the rock beat in that sense. But I couldn't see us singing songs with that sort of music. Now, there is what many, depending on where you come from, is referred to as perfect music. And if you have Scottish heritage, you would know what I'm talking about. Can't get better than that. I think my children regret. It may go a little bit too long. And there are silly songs.
Easy rock, casserole, chicken in a pot, whole monkey meat, deadly.
Tasty and deadly.
Parakeet, bonsai, fricassee, frog's eye, three-toed neck.
Tuna a la black.
King-sized Pepto-Bismol stew. Greasy, grimy, gopher guts, oops, fondue. What's in camp food? Nobody knows, but it sure tastes great. If you hold your nose.
Campers, campers, don't be rude. Close your mouth and eat your food.
Now, if you know Pastor Pirate, you'll know what that song's about camp food. Sorry, Kelly, yours isn't like that, but I'm sure many, many are. Then there'd be hymns, but sang in maybe just a single person singing it like this. And then there's where variations of hymns, this is the same song, just sung a different way. Things that we'd call psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And this is Ben Evans. And so, as I said last time, now that I'm getting into the aged man category, I can see the end results of the path I took and the path that many others took and where it led them. And I am ever so grateful for those who taught me about music and the choice that I made to go a particular direction. But what I can tell you is it certainly wasn't easy. Because my mum and dad didn't have rock music, they had no music in their house, so I never got a taste for good music. I only got a taste for what I listened to on the radio. And so if you want to do your children a favor, give them a taste to learn to love good music so that when it's a choice, it's not a matter of what taste I have, it's a matter of will I do what I believe God wants or not. But they have a taste. It's easy to get a taste for rock music. It's much harder. I know when I bowed my head and I was broken as a young person and I said to God, I will do whatever you want me to do from now on and I'll be whatever you want me to be and I'll go wherever you want me to go. A lot of things changed. But I know the next morning after I'd finished milking the cows, I got home, I put my tape recorder on, played the same rock music, and God didn't speak to me in an audible voice, but it may as well have been. He said, if you really meant what you were praying last night, that music has to go. I remember sitting on my bed. I said, I meant what I said. So I got all my tapes. I cut each one individually with scissors to make sure I couldn't get them. And I had two bags worth. I drove down to the tip and I threw it over the cliff. And that was the day, I still remember it, that I threw my idols away. That was me throwing my idols away. And then I thought, well, what am I going to listen to? So I rang up my brother and I said, can you send me some good music? I got rid of my rock music. I want to listen to good music. I was so excited when he was going to send it. And I got these tapes and I put them in and I started to listen to it. And I could not believe what I was listening to. It must have been the worst music in the world, all right? I remember thinking, are you serious? Is this the alternative? I think I had like the granny on the organ and she was singing type of music, and it was like eating cabbage for my ears. I'd been eating chocolate music for so long, and then I had to listen to this. And so the only thing I could do, because my flesh hated it, I made myself listen to a song or a CD, or it wasn't a CD, tape, 10 times until I could start to get a taste for it. And what happened was I started to hear melodies that I'd never heard before and words, and it started to touch my heart, and I slowly began to like that song. And then when I got a news tape, I'd put it in. Cabbage. So I have to put it in, and I had to listen to it 10, 15 times until I could get a taste for this sort of thing. And if you've grown up on rock music or you love that, be sure that your flesh will scream out and say they hate it. But it will be a battle. But I want to go back to this. As we said, where does good music stop and when does it start to go into bad music? And I said there is a grey area. But I want you to understand there is no grey area with God. God isn't in heaven thinking, where does it turn from good to bad? When does it start to offend me and I'm not happy? He knows exactly. With God, it's either black or white. It is either light or darkness. We're the only ones that have grey areas in everything. Every decision. We're the only ones who have a grey area. And for me, I think it's the best way to approach it, and this is the way I've done it, is the same as the way that I've approached alcohol. You know, when it comes to alcohol, when does it become wrong to drink alcohol, or how much alcohol to drink, if you want to have that argument? When does it become sin? All right, when do you become drunk? And for me, the safest place is to stay right away from alcohol when it comes to that. That way, I know I'm never going to pass that line going into the wrong. And I also have made a really clear distinction for my children so they don't get confused. You just don't drink alcohol full stop. Now, for me, I took that with rock music as well. Where rather than with this argument, is it wrong to have a backbeat? Or if you're allowed to have a backbeat, how strong does it have to be until it becomes wrong? To me, I just removed the whole argument and I don't have a backbeat. And then that's safe for me because then I'm not going past wherever God wants. And I have made a very clear distinction for my children as well, so I don't have to justify, look, my backbeat's okay, but yours is wrong. Now, it's their choice after that, but at least I haven't confused the issue. And so you might say to me, well, Alan, where do you draw the line? For wrong or for right, for me, a drum beat with a backbeat is a nice place to draw the line. And then I don't have to convince why my backbeat's okay and others isn't. And yes, there is music that is like nightclubs. There's slurring and it's like a lady is trying to woo me and sensual and make love to me in that sense. And I understand that you could say even put Christian words to that and it is still wrong in that the attitude it's portraying. And I can understand that as well. I try to stay away from those things also. You see, with every church, and it was with all the churches once, and now even with independent Baptist churches, when they start to take on the Christian contemporary music, they always start by saying the strong, hard rock beat is wrong. Always. That is wrong. And then when they introduce it, they just have a soft rock beat. A soft rock beat that still has that same basic sensual rhythmic features to it. But for me, there is no real significance. The difference between a soft rock beat and a hard rock beat is one's louder and one's stronger. But that same principle is still there. And even if you start with soft rock, I'll tell you this, when you have that basic soft beat to it, you will grow to like that. Your flesh likes it. Even if you don't realize it's the flesh liking it, and then it will generally want more because the flesh is never satisfied. And if you don't take it to a stronger beat, I'll guarantee your children will. That's usually how it happens. And I have 2 points to round off that I think are very important with music. It's this. At times, music choices will be an issue of sacrifice rather than right or wrong. Have you got that? This is what Jesus says. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. Now, when people read that, they say, yes, what Jesus is saying is, as a Christian, I have to deny myself of some sinful practices. But that's just a give me. That's really not even what he's talking about. But yes, there are people pursuing sinful practices that we are to deny ourselves with. But that's just the beginning. He says, if you want to follow me, you have to have a life of self-denial in so many areas. Look at the missionaries. They have a life of self-denial. They had to deny themselves of many things that aren't even wrong for the sake of Christ. And he said, we're told in Ephesians, wherefore, seeing we also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. You see, a loving thing to do is to say, I want to stay right away from the edge. I don't want to cause my brother to stumble. And I'm willing to make a sacrifice to make sure I'm safe, and to make sure that those who listen and follow me are safe as well. And that's a sacrifice. And it's not a matter of wrong or right. And often in music, when it's working out the difference, it is a matter of what is best for everybody, not just me. And so I believe that's a very important point. You can come afterwards and argue with me that a backbeat is okay. But on the other hand, can I ask you, are you willing to make that sacrifice for the sake of others who may not be as wise of where to draw the line? See, how close to the edge do you really want to live? All right? How close? Have you been creeping closer to the edge when it comes to music? Do you really think that I can live right on the edge when it comes to music? And my children, I won't lose them to the world and the flesh and the devil. My attitude has been, I'm going right away from the edge. All right, I'm living out in where the plains are, and they can get bitten by snakes, okay, but they're not falling over an edge. I know that much. All right. And so the question is, if you realize, as you pray, that the music you're listening to is, by nature, sensual, is dangerous, I don't know like where it ends up, and I don't want to go there, what do? Well, this is what I can only share with you what I did. And that is, I destroyed the old music of the flesh. You know, in Ephesus it says, many of them also which use curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men. They got rid of anything that was to do with the flesh and demonic things. And it says in verse 20, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. I'll tell you, if you're anything like me, when you get rid of feeding your flesh and you start to seek godly things and you have godly music, lots of things become clear. And I tell you, the Lord will challenge you about everything. It's amazing the difference that happened once I got rid of that. And then you replace it with music that will feed your spirit, not just flesh. And I'm happy to help you with that. And then even be accountable to someone until you've established new listening habits. That's how you go about it. And with that, I'd like to end with this thing. Can I encourage everyone that's here today? That if you agree with me, praise God. But can I encourage you not to then say, go to people and try and preach to them and guilt trip them to change? All right? If you disagree with me, can I ask that you don't undermine the work that's been done here and go and tell people what Pastor Stain's wrong, it's not true, and so on, and hinder the work of the Spirit of God? Can I ask that each one of us will agree to let God do the work? That's the key. Because unless God does a work, it doesn't matter anyway. I don't want to guilt trip you into changing, because that means nothing. But can I encourage each one of us not to preach or guilt trip or try to undermine? But I pray that you go before God and say, God, I want to just do what you want. I will do whatever you want. I'll be whatever you want. I'll go wherever I want. And you convict me and change me as you see fit. And maybe tomorrow when you turn on that music, the Spirit of God may have something to say to you. But it must be of God, not me, not someone else, not your parents. Please, let's not try and interfere with what God wants to do in people's lives. And so I've blown the trumpet. And maybe if you listen, you might get to 50 years old like me and think, I am so glad I chose that path. I'm very thankful for Pastor Mitchell preaching that message and those things. Maybe. Or you might be saying, you know, he was blowing the trumpet and there wasn't even an enemy. He thought there was an enemy. You'll see things. There was no enemy, but he kept blowing that trumpet. Well, I'd rather blow the trumpet thinking I see an enemy than not blowing it when there is one. But I trust now the trumpet is blown, you will seek God for what he wants. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you. And we ask that, Lord, well, we thank you that we have a spirit that dwells within us, who has promised to lead us into all truth. I pray that each one of us will have an attitude to seek you with all our heart. Lay aside everything else that we might have heard or thought, and we won't let the flesh have his way, but we will let the Spirit of God. And I pray that you'll do a work as you see fit. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.